Please be seated. Our first reading is from the Psalms. The book of Psalms contains the prayers, hymns, and meditations of Israel, 150 of them now gathered in a collection that includes joyful songs of praise and thanksgiving, as well as sad songs of lamentation and distress. The prayers and songs are addressed to God, usually either pleading for help or bearing witness to God's gracious acts on behalf of God's people, which is an important part of Israel's praise and ours. God's rule deserves to be celebrated, precisely because God alone judges with complete righteousness and equity. So in Psalm 98, everyone and everything sings praise, plays lyres, trumpets, and horns, and makes a joyful noise before the Lord. Even the sea roars, the floods clap their hands, and the hills sing for joy. Under God's rule, everything prospers, people and all creatures, so everything joins in praise. We'll read this responsively, so please turn to your bulletins where the psalm is printed. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke. The shepherds learn of the birth of the Messiah and go to see him. Notice that a single angel appears to them to tell them Jesus has been born. And in response to this, a chorus of angels appears praising God. Then after the shepherds go to see Jesus, their response is also to praise God. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as if it had been told them. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. O God, light of the minds that know you, life of the souls that love you, and strength of the thoughts that seek you, bless us now, we pray. Amen. So the Jeopardy category is Christmas carols. I'll take Christmas carols for 200, Alex. The answer is, this Christmas carol has nothing to do with Christmas. Ding, I need a dinger. I need to ding in. I need to beat me. What is? Jingle? Yeah, jingle though, true. That one's not in our hymnal though. Maybe it should be. Joy to the world. Joy to the world has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. He's not mentioned. There are no shepherds, no angel, no wise men, no Mary, no Joseph, none of it. The story of how it became a Christmas carol is interesting, though. It was written by Isaac Watts, at least the words were, in the late 1600s. His father was a pastor in the Church of England, and the story goes that one Sunday, after worship, he complained that the hymns were awful and boring. He was 15 years old, if that has anything to do with it. To which his father replied, well, if you think you can do better, then write one. And so he did. And he kept writing hymns. He wrote more than 600 hymns, in fact, and he's the most prolific hymn writer of all time, including Joy to the World. It was published in 1719 in a hymnal called The Psalms of David Imitated. Joy to the World is imitating Psalm 98 in New Testament language and imagery, but not as a Christmas hymn. In fact, the Puritans in the Church of England banned any celebration of Jesus' birth in the early 1600s, and that's because there was nothing in the Bible telling them to celebrate Christmas, so they wouldn't do it. Eventually, the Puritans were kicked out of the Church of England, or they left, and came to America, where they continued this ban on Christmas celebrations. In Massachusetts, in 1659, celebrating Christmas was a criminal offense with a penalty of 5 shillings. In fact, Christmas did not become a legal holiday until 1856, and as late as 1905, the state of Maine still held school on Christmas Day. Anyway, Isaac Watts was a product of this era, of this practice, and of this thinking around not celebrating Christmas. So there's no way that he would have written a Christmas hymn. Even when we pair Joy to the World with Psalm 98, there is still no obvious connection with the birth of Jesus and the celebration of Christmas. Psalms, you know, were written 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. Isaac Watts, in applying the Psalms to Christian worship, was simply writing a general hymn of praise. He took the last line from the psalm, "He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity," as prophetic of the second coming of Christ to judge and rule the world at the end of time. The Lord who is come is the grown-up Jesus reigning over the nations with righteousness, not the baby Jesus in the manger. It's not a Christmas carol yet. That wouldn't come until 120 years later, when the music we know and love was added by the American composer Lowell Mason. Now, Mason composed over 1,600 hymn tunes and was a pioneer in introducing the study of music into American public schools. Joy to the World is the earliest New England Christmas carol still popular today. Well, Mason loved Handel's Messiah, and he based the melody notes on Joy to the World on the opening descending notes of the chorale, "Glory to God, glory to God, joy to the world." And then he continued downward to finish the scale under the words, "The Lord is come." And for the music geeks among us, the "And heaven and nature sing" chorus melody resembles a sped up version of the instrumental introduction to the tenor recitative, "Comfort Ye My People," which we heard last week. Da 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 da. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and it's all the same. So, and both of these texts are from the Christmas portion of Handel's Messiah. So here we have a hymn of praise based on a psalm of praise in the middle of our Christmas celebration, which when we look at it may have something to say to deepen our Christmases. You see, when the ancient Israelites thought of God, their first reflex was praise. Our reflex may be something more utilitarian. We ask God for things. Sometimes we measure God by whether he is doing what we need or not, or doing things on our timeline. But not Israel. Israel just praised. And praise, very simply put, is our amazement at God and his purposes, God and his greatness. Praise enjoys and celebrates God's love, and it is our best attempt to feel and to say or sing something appropriate to God. Praise doesn't ask, "What have you done for me lately?" but instead exclaims, "How great thou art." Psalms scholar Walter Brueggemann explains praise this way. He says, "All of life is aimed towards God and finally exists for the sake of God. Praise articulates and embodies our capacity to yield, submit, and abandon ourselves in trust and gratitude to the one whose we are." Yeah. Praise doesn't work. It's not productive, and it's not about us. Praise means being lost in adoration, being awestruck by beauty. Praise is actually quite wasteful in terms of possible ways to spend your time. Praise is also our best counter to evil in the world. If we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, there is less chance that we will stumble into destructive habits or decisions or find ourselves jaded and cynical. Praise can also combat despair and loneliness. Making a joyful noise to the Lord can even quiet the soul. Psalm 98 praises the Lord, "For he has done marvelous things, weaving the universe into existence, designing the delicate petals on a rose, crafting massive canyons, providing for our daily needs, promising eternal life." We could spend every minute of the day noticing some new aspect of the greatness of God. Of course, the most marvelous thing God ever did was to physically visit us on earth. Jesus, by simply showing up on earth, by teaching, touching, suffering, and rising, was and is marvelous. And the only fitting response is praise. Psalm 98 also proclaims the Lord's victory. Not once, not twice, but three times we hear of the Lord's victory. And interestingly, the Hebrew word for victory is Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is the victory of God. Want to see power? Watch Jesus touch the untouchables. Watch Jesus wash the feet of those who would gladly have washed his. His love was so powerful that we see Jesus surrender his very life. We see Jesus forgive the people who had just spat on him and drove nails into his flesh. We see Jesus breathe his last and then quite fantastically show up 3 days later. That is power and victory, serving and loving and forgiving and living again. The Lord is King, the psalm declares. And our best reply is the words of Isaac Watts, "Joy to the world." And then there's the fourth verse. "He rules the world with truth and grace." And with those words, we're taken to Christmas Eve, the service of lessons and carols, to the very last reading from the Gospel of John, and the very last words of that reading. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Making the God of truth and grace our Lord, declaring Christ's victory as our own, is to open ourselves to possibilities that will change us, always for the better, and sometimes in ways we could never imagine. The story goes about Betty Hutton, the former movie star from the late 40s and 50s. Betty's life was challenging from her childhood on, and even though she enjoyed success as an actress, she also struggled with and suffered with alcoholism and depression. Eventually, through the mentoring of a Catholic priest, she had an encounter with the living God and gave her life to Christ, converting to Catholicism along the way. And in her new life with Christ, God, in fact, turned her life around. And she began a comeback. And in 1980, she joined the Broadway cast of the musical Annie, playing the character of Mrs. Hannigan. Well, when they print the playbill and the programs, they always have full biographies of the actors and the production crew, some quite lengthy, listing all of their roles and accomplishments to date. However, under the picture of Betty Hutton, there was no elaborate biography. Instead, there were simply five words that Betty herself had written. "I'm back. Thanks to God." Betty knew the wonders of his love. My prayer for us is that as we move through this week, you will encounter the wonder of God's love in such a way that you too are moved to praise. Joy to the world, indeed. Amen.